First, let me confess my weakness of... It's hard when you know you are preaching the last sermon, and when the same day you are saying goodbye to people. But that's why the word of the Lord exists, and the Lord exists in our life to lift our spirit in a time like this, and to remind us there is a hand that outreaching for us to help us. And I like to, while I'm saying goodbye, I like also to remember the growth and the wonderful thing God did in my life through you, and what God did to the whole society, to Providence, through you. And hopefully to the whole world through a true church that's faithful to the Lord and to the whole world. More than 6 years ago, I was applying to be a Presbyterian pastor in USA since I moved here. And the first thing, they were happy with me and my credentials and everything, but they asked me to do something to prove I can do ministry in the new context and a new culture. And I was fine with that. For the first time, I heard about something called CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education. And they said, you have to do at least one unit. I went there to do it, not really out of love or knowing what's this about, just I have to do it. But it was really a great experience. And one story I like to share was my early experience in U.S. as a minister. When I was doing the chaplain internship at a hospital in Minneapolis, during my internship, I met a patient who was asking about marriage in the kingdom of God. And to be honest with you, maybe I laughed inside myself, but at the same time, I saw how serious he was talking about this issue. And his question was about his first wife had died many years ago, and now he was married again. And he asked me which one will be his wife in heaven. And I assume there is some issues here more than what he's saying. But I took it seriously, maybe later more than really in the conversation. And I felt this is similar to the conversation between what Jesus did with the Jews in Luke's gospel. What's really the kingdom of God is about? And Jesus shocked his listeners into thinking about the kingdom of God as something that will come to you where you are now. And he changed their minds from thinking about the future as something always far away, and something apocalyptic and not realistic, to think about the present when he said the kingdom of God is inside you. And this was really a true deep revelation to say, like, do not just delay your joy and your excitement and you really being engaged in society by thinking everything will happen tomorrow. In other words, we can see you saying, today start now and here. Tomorrow, start now and here. From this perspective, the kingdom of God is present with us now, and we move forward to understand the mustard seed parable. The first part in this parable is about how someone planted a tiny seed. I remember my grandpa, who was a farmer, who taught me about if you lived in the Middle East, there are some plants are looking as very holy and very important. Regardless of how much fruit they give to you, it's a sign of blessing. And one of them is the mustard seed, the other one is the olive tree and the palm tree. And that's why even people like my grandpa, who barely know how to read and write, love the gospel and love the story about Christ. Because he feels like Christ understood them. He spoke the language they can understand. They didn't know how to talk about computers and all this modern culture we live in, but when it comes to farming, they are very expert and they get it very well. And he told me about the mustard seed parable, pointing out how the mustard tree had grown in our region. And he told me how the people who planted that tree saved their crops by planting it, because they knew that if they did, the birds would come and eat the leaves from the tree instead of eating their harvest. And somehow they were smart to plant a tree like that. He told me, too, that there are only a few of these trees left in the region in the modern time, because they took a long time to grow, very long. He also told me that people who had planted trees like olive tree or our palm tree or mustard seed, they know they are planting something they will not see the fruit of. Also, he told me that who planted the mustard seed or the olive tree or the palm trees, they knew that they would not harvest the reward from their sowing, but their children would. And maybe not even their children by flesh, but everybody, every passenger on the road. Somebody who can take a shade under a tree in the middle of a desert. A date in a day that was no food to get some energy on the road. An olive tree with all this loving and wonderful smell you can get when you are around them. The second part about this parable is the stage of growing. Let us think about how the seed became a tree. And its journey to becoming a tree, it's not just something happened in the morning, we planted, and the second day we found a wonderful tree everybody's speaking about. It took a long time. We have been talking about the journey all over in everything. And it's a journey to grow from being very vulnerable and tiny. And when you are growing, you are suffered a lot of things, challenges. And for these trees, they have many challenges like wind, sand, storms, burning sun, and famine. But in all these challenges, it didn't destroy it. It helped it to develop. It became stronger. And the third part about this tiny seed, is I call it the adulthood. The tree now is growing, and the work is over. The dream became real. The tiny seed became a huge tree. And it is similar to the time when we feel more satisfied, successful, life looks better, safer. We can hold things by ourselves now. But that's the time, too, when I call it time of temptation. I can do it by myself now. I don't need your help anymore. This is the time when we really need to think about how do we deal with our strengths and not only our weakness. And the last part about making a decision. Do we share this work with others, or do we take these benefits for ourselves? This tree has become a place for birds. And when I always hear that, I always imagine the image of a place for refugees, a place for people who are flying around the world, trying to find a place, not even to call it home, but at least maybe a place to catch their breath, to find their way. And when I was reading that, I was thinking about how many people, the report I read on BBC about how many people, especially from the Middle East now, are drowning in the Mediterranean Sea because they are leaving death, hoping for life to another death. And most of them are coming from all these regions and countries we know about. They know they are facing death, but at least they're trying for another way. For everyone to come to find a place and build a nest. The weak, the small seed, who needed so much help in the beginning, became strong and independent, and not selfish, but a giver of its power to others. And it is really glory when it became available for all who are in need. And to go back to the story I told you about this man who asked me about which one of his wife will be his wife in heaven. My answer for this man who asked me about his wife was, God came to us entering into our human life to show he can suffer with us and he can understand our struggle. God is the one in Christ we can see who can relate to us and spread the message that God's kingdom is with us now. God came to us where we are at. God meets us where we are. We know the human part of kingdom, but we cannot fully comprehend the kingdom of God. And that's part of the mystery we live with. While we know we are stood on one foot in this ground of reality, and we have another foot, we didn't know where it will go in the future. But that's what we call faith and hope. We trust when we put our second foot on the floor, we'll be strong and we'll be okay. But we are comforted in the knowledge of God who cares for us and suffers with us, delivering us from suffering and death. And here are some lessons I'm saying to myself and share these lessons with you. It is a huge challenge to be a good person and give in a time where we need some support. But believe me, it's hardest to be humble when we receive. Remember that we are a tiny seed in the kingdom of God. And we give the glory to our God in whatever way we serve, as a giver or as a receiver. Another story from my learning experiences as a CPE student. I found was a chaplain who was sitting on a patient bed, and nobody could visit him, and I didn't know even he was a chaplain, but just reading the data and knowing his background and things, and he was really struggling, was thinking about, like, a few years ago, he was the one moving around, offering help and support to people, and now he is in a place where he needs the support, and it is hard. And all the time, they taught us, we are struggling because we're thinking about, if the patient was me, what do I do? And moving between really being humble when we give, but also being humble when we are vulnerable and we need to receive. Accept pain not as a joy, not as something to celebrate, but as part of a harsh reality to grow in this life and faith. God redeems our suffering, our sins, and the sins of others that affect us. Let us live today because we are in the kingdom of God. Do not wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow starts here and now. Let us thank God for the things you have done to the whole world and the things you have done to me. And I will let you know, as much as I grow since I came here, being at PBC for 1 year was a wonderful experience that made me grow too much. I hope so. And it moved me from being realistic to be more hopeful. I came here with my expectation was normal or realistic about a church and struggles and things. And I think you exceeded my expectation of saying, there is a community that really could exist with diversity in every aspect and could live together. There is a place we all serve as ministers, and not only the paid staff who are serving and being in the center, but everybody is really part of this team. You helped me to understand is there is a place for everybody to grow. And as you sent many people all over U.S. and even outside our country, today you are sending a young minister who came with a few things, but is leaving with a lot because you taught me a lot. Thank you. And I'd like to close with words from my wife, so I'm quoting my wife right now. So she's responsible for that. This year was a great blessing for me. Yes, it was challenging, but it was also extremely interesting and life-changing. And I'm so grateful that I had the chance to meet all of you. This church has taught me a lot about what it means to be a church that will be always with me. Me and my babies were baptized with you, and their spiritual roots begin there. They will want to see it when they are older. I know we will meet again. Stacy. Thank you.